Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 262.
And we're here to celebrate!
Kevin and Corn Flake like to have coffee and cartoons, and so they turned on their microphone and made a Flopcast just for you. Might be sorry, they'll still turn your sad frown upside down. Coming at you live from Chicken Town.
Yes, yes, hello, Corn Flake.
Hi, Kevin.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
To Chicken Town. You missed last week. You were sick, remember?
I missed Chicken Town. I missed you.
We missed you, too, but the show had to go on, so we somehow scraped together a show in your absence. It was just me and the mayor.
And it was wonderful.
Who's also here. Hello, mayor.
Hello. Hi, mayor.
It's all three of us together again for this show of shows.
Thank you for keeping the Flopcast rocking and rolling while I was getting better.
Well, you're on the mend now, and we needed you back this week more than ever, perhaps, because this is the Flopcast 5-year anniversary. Five miserable years of the Flopcast.
Is that a demi-decade?
Is it? I don't know.
I've never heard that term before, but sure, let's say it's a demi-decade.
Demi-decadent.
Never heard that. That's so weird. Is that 5 years?
I'm just making
this
up.
You made that up. Okay.
Make things up on a podcast, what can you do on a podcast?
Right. That will not be the first thing we were completely wrong about on this show.
Happy demi-decade to us.
So yes, it is our 5-year anniversary, strange as that may seem. And so we're just going to kind of kick back and look back on 5 years of Flopcasting and relax and celebrate and sip coffee. That's the plan for today, I think. But we also have to start out. We missed whatever day last week, of course, because you weren't here. That show was way long enough without a whatever day.
That's true.
You may recall the two of us just yammering about movies of the 1970s for over an hour.
Yeah, it seemed to take a whole decade.
That was brutal. And somehow we never even mentioned The Cat from Outer Space. How did we go through? Ooh. Well, we made up for it just now. The Cat from Outer Space. Most important movie of the 1970s. Cornflake, what is finally this week's National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
May 17th is National Employee Health and Fitness Day. Do you know what this means?
You can teach water aerobics at work?
I can teach water aerobics to our chicken employees here in Fastville and
right
Chicken
here
Town.
In the studio. We could flood the studio right now.
And teach
I don't like
the
that idea.
Chickens. Oh, yeah, there is that logistical issue, isn't there? I was so excited to teach the chickens water aerobics that I just didn't even think about the fact that we would have to put water in here.
I would kind of like to see a pool just full of floating rubber chickens. They would not be trying very hard, actually. They were just going to, they would be relaxing, floating around.
If they're in my class, they're going to work.
Yeah, or they might bob up and down a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose.
That'd be fun.
With the eddies and the currents in the pool.
We recently had National Respect for Chickens, International Respect for Chickens Day, I think. And what better way to respect the chickens than to get them in shape?
Throw them in the pool.
Didn't we see Chris Maslesta of Power Salad? Didn't we see his chicken swimming?
Yes.
Oh, I remember that.
So cool.
And in Chris's defense, he didn't throw the chicken in the pool and let's see what happens. The chicken on its own took off and accidentally ended in the pool.
And it also wasn't rubber.
But Chris took care of things. He leaped into action and started filming it. For our amusement. So chickens can swim, I guess, a little bit if they have to.
Yeah, they're not normally water birds.
They're not crazy about it.
Yeah.
So we're celebrating health and fitness in the workplace?
Yes, National Employee Health and Fitness Day.
All right.
'Cause,
I'm not sure I approve of that. As podcasters, I feel like we're getting a lot of exercise here in the studio. what with all the sitting and talking into a microphone, the sipping of the coffee. That coffee, it doesn't come to you. You have to reach out, pick up the mug every time. We need to automate that somehow. We need one of those
coffee robot
that would just pour the coffee over me.
I think you have a slightly warped view of what exercise is.
All right. Now, you know what we like to do on our anniversary shows? We've had 5 of these anniversary shows now, I suppose. Mm-hmm. This would be the 5th.
That's the way that would work out.
2012. May of 2012, we started the Flopcast.
Oh, we were so young and optimistic.
We thought people were going to listen.
We had big dreams.
Now they've been crushed.
Oh.
It's all over.
You have to admit, though, we've made a lot of awesome new friends along the way.
Yeah, and I thought this is a chance to look back on 5 years of Flopcasting. Let's figure out what in the world we've done and where we are and where we're going and why and how we can possibly stop.
We can't be stopped.
Before it's too late. So I've got some stats. You know, I like to round up some stats on the Flopcast when we do these shows every year. And since this is 5 years, half a decade, a demi-decade, as scientists say, I've got more stats than ever before.
Ooh.
We're really loaded up with information about 5 years of the Flopcast. First of all, let's see. We've done 261 episodes previously. This is 262 we're doing right now, plus episode 0. The average length of a Flopcast episode is 36.83 minutes, approximately. Okay. We're still trending downward, I think. We're doing shorter, leaner shows, with the exception of these movie game shows.
And the death show.
And the death show, yeah. Yeah, we set a record for the longest Flopcast ever just a few months ago when we did our 2016 memorial show back in January. Because that show, we look back at all the celebrities who died in 2016, and that ran 1 hour and 53 minutes.
Yikes.
Shattering the old record. But again, that's long by Flopcast term. A lot of podcasts do way longer shows than that every single week. We do really, really short shows.
We do, but we didn't always. Remember how long our first episodes used to be, like back at the beginning?
Yeah, our shows used to trend longer in the early days. Then we've gotten tighter and leaner. And
you edit more ruthlessly.
Yeah, I'm angrier in the editing bay. The shortest show ever remains, way back episode 17, the Flopathon. We're still
there, yes.
Which was just 9.5 minutes. I like that a show called The Flopathon is our shortest show ever. 9.5 minutes, and we've never gone that short.
We never had to resort to a flopathon again either. We've always had something on deck for weeks when we weren't around.
It was a huge mistake. Newer listeners, you want to hear something really weird? Go back to episode 17, The Flopathon. That was strange.
I loved that show.
Don't know what we were thinking. Now, if we look at where are people listening to the Flopcast, because we do have people listening out there in the world. Not a lot.
I think we have a healthy number of listeners.
We may not have a lot, but we do have the best listeners.
Yes. Oh, the listeners are great. Now, I looked at countries where the Flopcast has been downloaded. So I have the top 10 nations for Flopcast downloads, and not a lot of changes on this list since last time. But number one, Mongolia.
Oh, all the highness.
Yeah, no, actually, I'm sorry to say we have 0 downloads. Even though we're very fond of Mongolia, still, they're ignoring us in Mongolia, even though we love the Heinig.
The Heinigs don't love us back.
Every year we mention we have no downloads from Mongolia, and we love the Heinig, the yak-cow hybrid creature that they make in Mongolia. But 0 listeners there. Now, the U.S., which is where we are based out of, Chickentown here, is technically part of the United States.
Chickentown, USA.
Yes, and U.S. far and away, the number one country for Flopcast downloads. About 85% of our downloads come from the U.S. Number two is the U.K. About 4% of our downloads come from the U.K.
All right, thanks to our British listeners.
That is nice. Number three is Canada. Number four is China. But again, how many people are in China?
A lot.
I think statistically, nobody's listening in China.
Right.
And that's still, it's enough downloads to land them at number four. number five and number six switched places since last year, but it's Sweden is at number five. Finland is at number six.
Okay.
They flipped since last year, but Scandinavia. Norway, they don't care. Hardly any downloads from Norway, strangely. They like us in Finland and Sweden, not Norway.
Not Norway.
I think we have to get those helmets with the horns on them.
Viking helmets?
Hagar the Horrible style?
Sure.
That might build up more Norwegian interest in the podcast, perhaps.
I remember how excited I was when we got downloads in Finland.
Yeah, oh yeah, we love Finland. Number 7 is Australia. Number 8 and 9 have switched places. That is, number 8 is Germany. Number 9 is Japan. That's a flip from last year. So Germany, racing up the charts.
Yeah.
I see.
France and India have also switched places. I guess I have the top 12 listed here now.
Okay.
Now that you're counting them up. France is at number 10. India is at number 11. And rounding out the top 12 for some reason. I don't know why I listed 12 here, but the Netherlands is at number 12.
All right.
That's your top 12 countries for Flopcast downloads. There's about 80 countries on the whole list of downloads that I went through. So
wow.
All over the world. I mean, again, it drops off the number of downloads, but there's a handful of downloads from all sorts of crazy places in South America and Africa and throughout Southeast Asia and the Middle East, Europe, all over the place. Not in Mongolia.
We got to work on that.
Yeah. We have to mount an expedition to Mongolia with a Heinig. That's one way to get downloads from around the world. Is just
send your friends.
Yeah, just get out there and download them yourself.
You remember when I sent my friend to North Dakota?
Oh, yeah. that's where we're headed next. Because now, if we zoom in on the United States for Flopcast downloads, and we're going to look at the top 10 states. And starting off, there's been a major shift.
Ooh.
In the top 10 states for Flopcast downloads, because our own state here in Massachusetts, we've always been number one for
sure.
Flopcast downloads. That is no longer the case. Oh. Massachusetts has slipped to number 2 in Flopcast downloads. At number 1 now, California has taken over.
Can I just say that I'm so excited that California loves us?
California.
Yay. It just makes me so happy.
And hey, I've been spreading the word out there when I go out for Gallifrey every year.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Maybe we've picked up some listeners that way.
I'm sure we have. So, yeah, California is number 1. Massachusetts is 2. 3 is New York. 4 is Illinois. 5 is Georgia. 6 is Pennsylvania. 7 is Rhode Island. 8 is New Hampshire. 9 is Michigan. And 10 is Connecticut. So those are your top 10 states. We've been downloaded in all 50 states.
Awesome.
In one case, though, yeah, Cornflake had to make an emergency phone call.
My friend Bart.
You actually sent some trucker friend of yours just go to North Dakota and download our stupid show so that we can see that one in the statistics.
And hey. He did. It's all about Flopcast love.
That's awesome.
So as far as we know, the other downloads are all naturally occurring in the wild. But yeah, we have a single download from North Dakota. Also, just one download from Montana, a neighboring state of North Dakota. Let's see. I was looking at guests who have appeared on the Flopcast. Because we're not really a guest-driven show. We're not a guest-format kind of a show. It's usually just us yammering on and on about stupid things. but then I started looking. I was like, who have we actually had for guests on the show? And it's a pretty long list.
And this is not just IDs, but actual.
Yeah, yeah, no, we're talking actual guests right now.
All right.
So let's run through our guests. This is not a complete list. And this also doesn't include everybody we've ever talked to at a convention. We've done those big roundtable shows, and we've done shows at conventions where just anybody who's around, come on over, we get in a big circle, and we make a big crazy show.
Like the woman who was trying to encourage blood donations at MarsCon?
Yes. She is not on my list.
It's okay.
A woman dressed as a giant drop of blood. Yeah. Did not make my list. She probably should be on the list. It's really the most important guest we've had in the history of the show. The first person besides me and Cornflake to be heard on the Flopcast was you. It was the mayor.
Oh, I was your first guest.
Our first guest was the mayor of Chickentown, Felicity, who's here with us celebrating 5 years. You first appeared on episode 5.
Really?
Yes. Very, very early on. But let's see, who else has been on the show? We've got to mention Doornail.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Who's our convention correspondent and has appeared many times on the show.
And my best friend of over 20 years.
Yeah, Doornail's been great. For the Flopcast. We got her on the phone once, just to talk about turkeys. But other than that, we have her on at conventions. She's been on our MarsCon shows and FumpFest shows. And
she's great at giggling and spilling things.
Oh, yeah. You need someone to giggle and or spill a beverage on a podcast. You call Doornail. We want to mention Christine, been on the show several times, also as a convention correspondent at DragonCon and a few other places as well. Rhode Island Comic Con as well. It's Christine and Daryl and Steve from the Humanists of Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. We talked to them at Rhode Island Comic Con once. Christine also reported from outside of an Air Supply concert for us once.
I remember that.
Very important. Speaking of Dragon Con, we've got to mention our weird friends Carl and Rebecca.
Yay!
Who we failed to find last year at Dragon Con.
I was very disappointed.
Well, there's always this year.
There's always this year. I'll be back this year. I'll be on a Carl hunt.
This is a dude that dresses up as Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and almost every year we've run into him at Dragon Con, and we chat for a minute, and he's out of his mind, and it's very
and
funny.
And we love it.
Yeah, we love his very, very patient wife, Rebecca, also, so hope to run into them again. We've got to mention the great Luke Ski.
One of my all-time favorite guests on the show.
Luke and Carrie, of course, from Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, and they've been on the show with us. And when we were still in the planning stages for the Flapcast, mm-hmm. And we spent literally a couple of years easily just thinking about maybe doing this show. We did not rush into this. I know it seems like that, because look what a mistake we've made with the last 5 years. We were still just thinking about maybe we should do a podcast. And then meanwhile, Luke and Carrie started their podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. And that certainly served as an inspiration for us to get this going. And then also Blasted Bill and Moonbeam started their show, The Pod of Destiny. Those were really our sister podcasts, if you will. We were sort of a set, the three of us. And now it's a whole family of shows with Kyle and Luke talk about tunes and the Funny Music podcast and Luke's support. Early on for our goofy show was very important, I think, in building our initial listener base was very much the Dr. Demento fan community of which we're a part. And Luke, very early on, was promoting our show on the Funny Music podcast and on Bad Rapport and saying, hey, everybody, go listen to these two maniacs doing this new show.
Yeah, early on. And remember when he drew the two of us in a hot tub? We love Luke.
Well, he made a theme song for us. Like, he wrote lyrics for our instrumental theme song. We have to mention our friend Andrea, one of our buddies from the local comedy scene around here, and she's been on the show a couple of times. Nikki Luparelli has been on the show just once so far. We had her on quite a few years ago, briefly, and we've got to get her back on sometime, I think. We haven't actually had Nikki on the show, even though she comes up almost every week, because
she's always up to
something. She's always doing something crazy that we like to talk about. Nikki has a couple of very interesting shows coming up this summer. Yeah, she's got some cool stuff on the horizon. Devo Spice was interviewed on the show. That was one of the first actual interviews that we recorded for the show, was with Devo. And we've done a bunch of interviews like that with friends of ours, again, from that Dr. Demento Funny Music community. You did that big interview with Insane Ian.
Still one of my favorite.
You recorded the Galloping Ghost Arcade in Chicago.
Yes, we got kicked out.
You get thrown out of a classic video arcade. Like, what are you doing? Recording an interview for a podcast? Get out of here. And you had to go out to your car and continue the conversation there. And
did I have so much fun talking to Ian?
That was a fun show. We interviewed TV's Kyle, of course, about his music career. This was years before Mighty Magiswords, of course. Now he's a big star with his own TV show. But, you know, back in the day, he'd still talk to us and acknowledge that we existed.
We knew him back then.
Yeah, we did an interview with TV's Kyle. We interviewed Chris from Power Salad. You know, that guy that throws chickens into swimming pools all the time.
Uh-huh.
We talked to Chris, of course.
And he's the voice of chickens in the news.
Voice of chickens in the news. Our friend Laura is the voice of the top 4.5 list. My nephews are the voice of National Whatever Day. So, we've had people record some wacky audio for our segments. We interviewed Shoebox from Worm Quartet.
Oh, yeah.
That was crazy.
That was a wacky interview. That was in a hotel room somewhere.
Yes.
What were we, running from the law? We were holed up somewhere.
weren't we running from Hall & Oates?
I think we were. Hall & Oates were in the same hotel that day. That was a weird day. Flat 29, we interviewed. That was fun. Rob Paravonian.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Did an interview with. That was so cool. He was talking about working with George Carlin. I think that same day I interviewed a couple of Klingons. That was at MarsCon. Our friends Dave and Mary, who run those Klingon party rooms. A lot of convention interviews. Craig Rousseau, we cornered at a convention
from
once.
From the Perhaponauts.
Got a little audio out of. He's the artist of your favorite comic book series, the Perhaponauts.
Yeah, I got to go up and talk to him and geek out. I do love the Perhaponauts.
Yes, we've talked to our friend Amy the Mermaid at conventions a couple of times, I think, for the show.
Uh-huh, one of our favorite costumers.
She's a mermaid.
I think some of my most favorite convention pictures are with me and Amy.
She's amazing.
She looks so cool.
Yeah, and I haven't seen her in person in a while lately. She doesn't do as many local conventions these days. She does conventions in Vermont, oddly. The last time I saw her was at the Vermont Comic Con, and she's been up to a few conventions in Vermont. So even though she's a mermaid, she swims up north to a landlocked state.
That doesn't make sense.
Well, they do have Lake Champlain.
Yeah.
That's true. Maybe she hops in
She's a lake mermaid.
Yeah. Lake Champlain with Champy, the sea master.
You know? Right.
We love Amy. We did an interview with Alan Chervell. Remember that? He does country songs about Superman?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Nice guy. He did a whole album of country songs about Superman. And you know how I feel about country music normally.
Right.
I make an exception for a really nice guy doing country songs about Superman. Okay, you got me at that point. Andy Restano is an old friend of mine from back in my coffee house open mic hosting days. And just like Kyle and Lindsay and Luke, he's also working in animation. He's worked at Adventure Time quite a bit. And we had him on the show a while back as well. You interviewed the library bards last year.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
We had a good time.
Yeah.
They seem really fun. I'd like to see them someday.
Yeah. Another friend of ours, another musician, is Jacob Haller.
Mm-hmm.
He's been very, very supportive of the Flopcast in many ways, we've got to say, over the last few years. And we actually did an interview with him on the show when one of his new albums was coming out. So that was cool.
We did that. And I believe the first podcast of the year for my one podcast a month resolution was Jacob Haller's podcast, Tell Me About Your Song.
Yeah, you recommended his show, the latest episode of his show. Have you heard it yet?
Yes.
It's Our Worlds Are Colliding. Jacob landed an interview with Marion Call.
Isn't that something?
About her new record. Yeah, that was really cool. A friend of ours from Wicked Geeky, from our local costuming group that are pals of ours, and Panda Valentine, we've had on the show a couple of times.
Yeah.
I believe we've interviewed Panda. Such a cool lady from Australia. I think we talked to her live from Rubber Chicken Comics one day, and we also talked to her from Rhode Island Comic Con when she was giving away cookies.
The cookies, yeah.
We were doing an interview, plus she had to keep stopping the interview to yell at people to come take a cookie.
Yeah, I remember those cookies.
Speaking of Rubber Chicken, we interviewed Jay and Joe from Rubber Chicken Comics during one of their big events, because they are certainly friends of ours. Another guy from comic books is another old friend of mine, a guy I went to junior high school with, Jim Savard, who is also a comic book writer these days. We did an interview with him. We interviewed Jim Martin from The Great Space Coaster.
Yes!
Yeah!
The voice of Gary Gnu.
I was present for that.
I still have my autographed picture of Gary
Gnu. Yes, you have a picture of Gary Gnu. This was Jim Martin was the voice of Gary Gnu. And,
he seemed to have so much fun on the podcast.
Oh,
he had
yeah.
a lot of fun during that interview.
He was a delight. I didn't have names for these guys, but you did an interview with some game designers.
Yeah, the PBL robot guys.
Yeah, they made a robot game, and we had them on the show. Compliments of Cornflake.
Yeah, that was a great talk, and it was a lot of fun to hear about what went into designing their game.
That was cool. That was one of those conventions you went to last year. We did an interview from Dragon Con with Mark Edward, who's part of the skeptic community. He's a mentalist and a magician.
Oh, yeah,
and,
I forgot about that.
Yeah, we interviewed Mark about his book, Psychic Blues, because he worked on one of those psychic hotlines. So he's got some stories to tell. Talked to Mark. And also, I believe it was that same day, this was a big one, the Flopcast did an interview with James Randi, the amazing Randi.
Yes.
We have no business talking to James Randi. Come on, who are we? This is a very important man.
He's very important. He has the best stories.
That
He's
was,
just always a delight to be around.
Yeah, that was a treat for us to actually be able to spend a few minutes talking to Randi, who's a hero of ours and really one of the major forces and leaders in the skeptics movement, you know, fighting for truth and logic and evidence-based science and all that good stuff. And nobody is better at it than the amazing Randi. And yeah, he actually talked to us on the Flopcast.
Imagine that.
Which was nice. Hey, how about Matthew Dix?
Yes.
Again, this is an old friend of mine. This is a guy I used to ride the school bus with.
I feel like, have we only ever done one interview with him? Because I feel
yeah.
like we've talked to him a couple of times in the show.
He was only actually on the Flopcast once, but he's come up on the show a few times because we've been to his storytelling events. He's a storyteller and a novelist and runs like the Moth-style storytelling events down in Connecticut. They're called Speak Up. We went to the very first Speak Up event.
What a day that was, because that was also Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, we had a big road trip to Connecticut.
And we tried to record a show and it didn't quite work while we were driving.
That is correct. There's a Lost Flopcast episode out there because we did a horrible job trying to record from a car. Yeah. But we were on our way that day to see the first Speak Up event with Matthew Dix. But this is the guy that, if you listen to The Moth, or if you watch the videos of The Moth, you've seen him because he's a storyteller for The Moth, and he wins those Moth competitions all the time.
Yeah, he's great on those.
His stories are amazing. Eric Green, we talked to on the show a while back. This was the director of Life on the V.
Yeah.
The movie about V66, Boston's own local music video channel back in the mid-80s.
And we had an episode where you and I watched that.
Yes, and he's always been very appreciative of us talking about that movie.
Yeah, he's been very supportive of us, and likewise, even if you're not from Boston, even if you never watched V66 back in the 80s, it's just a great documentary.
Yeah, so, highly recommend.
Yeah, Life on the V, and it was nice of Eric to talk with us here on the Flopcast. How about Reb Brown?
Yes.
Captain America from way before these Marvel movies that the kids are so excited about these days. Back in 1979, our Captain America was Reb Brown in a weird couple of made-for-TV movies. And Reb was nice enough to do a little interview with us about Captain America and his snake movie that we spoke of just last week, and the facts of life he was on. And
That came up.
Oh, he was on Happy Days. He probably doesn't do a lot of interviews where the facts of life comes up. And yet that's what was most important to me, of course. Another big one for me personally, of course, how about Marta Kristen?
Yes, from Lost in Space.
Judy Robinson from Lost in Space.
The interview was fantastic.
What a sweetheart. She was terrific and very generous with her time. And yeah, just someone that I was such a fan of that show and of her as a kid. So that was a real treat as well. The final guest I have on my list of Flopcast guests is Ed.
Ed!
Ed is my partner from my old band, the Sponge Awareness Foundation. He's been on the show a few times now.
Some great times with Ed.
We had him on to talk about his high school band, Vortex, and we had him on a week later to talk about his first college band, Wet Paint, before we started Sponge Awareness Foundation.
I remember he was hiding.
Yes.
I arrived at Chickentown, and I sat for quite some time before the show started.
And surprise, Ed.
Ed walked out of, like, another room with a bag over his head.
Oh, yeah. So what's in the bag?
We had Ed secretly stashed in the green room. And that must have been terrifying for you. Can you imagine? Just suddenly, you had no idea another human being was in the studio, and then just a maniac wearing a bag. That's like a horror movie.
Yeah, we shouldn't shock Cornflake again like that.
By all rights, we should have been just chopped up by an axe at that point, you know? That's when it's all over. When a stranger wearing a mask suddenly steps into the room. But it was Ed, so it's fine.
All right, so those are
some of the highlights of some of the people that have appeared with us here on the Flopcast.
Yeah, that's quite a list.
It's a long list, considering that we don't really have guests on the show. But you do 261 of these shows, and I guess a few people are going to sneak through the door once in a while. Now, we mentioned the IDs as well, so I want to run through our Flopcast IDs. That's the things that we drop at the top of the show, you know, hey, this is Gary Coleman. I'm just using a hypothetical.
Right.
Don't get too excited. And you're listening to the Flopcast, you know those things. Here's an alphabetical list of our Flopcast IDs, because this is quite a list.
Yeah.
Starting with Aileen Quinn.
From Annie.
That's Annie. She was so nice and super friendly, and I had a great time hanging out with Aileen Quinn a little while back, and was very kind to say a quick hello to our listeners. The Arrogant Worms did an ID for us, and I know that was very important to you as a longtime fan of a Canadian comedy band, The Arrogant Worms.
Love those guys.
Bill the Radical Geek made an ID for us. I made a point of playing that when we did our Bill list.
Yes.
Very appropriate.
Yes, another friend from the dementia music community, Brian O'Halloran, made an ID for us.
Yeah. That's
Dante from Clerks.
Yeah, he wasn't even supposed to be there then.
Bronson Pinchot.
Wow, yeah.
How about that? That's Balky, your favorite.
That was exciting.
Yes, you were freaking out. You could hardly speak. You were a little starstruck when we met Bronson Pinchot, as I recall.
He brought so many laughs to my childhood, man.
Yes. Carla Ulbrich did an ID for us, another comedy musician. Devo Spice, of course. Dr. Demento.
Yeah.
Did a couple of IDs for us. We've got the regular Demento ID that we play, and then also the Christmas version. Flat 29 did an ID for us. Gary Ganu, possibly voiced by the aforementioned Jim Martin from the Great Space Coaster, but he did an ID in character.
Nice.
As Gary Ganu. George Harab did one for us. That was one of our early ones. And I haven't seen George in a long time. George is a musician and part of the skeptic community. Great guy. Helen Slater, that was a big one for us. Supergirl from back in 1984. She's a very nice lady. Helen Slater. Insane Ian made an ID for us, of course, in which he's very angry about chickens. James Randi, the amazing Randi, did one for us. Jim Infantino.
Yeah.
From Jim's Big Ego.
And he mentions chickens in the news, isn't he?
This was an exciting one for us and a pretty recent one. How about from Letters to Cleo, Kay Hanley?
Yeah, I think that's the one I got so excited about.
Yeah, we got to chat with Kay for a few minutes just a few months ago, and which was nice. It's cool just to hang out and talk to her and say, by the way, you're my favorite singer.
Yeah.
So it's really a treat. How about the cast of Land of the Lost?
Yes.
All three of them. That's Kathy Coleman, Wesley Yore, and Philip Paley, who were, of course, Holly and Will and Chaka. Back on Land of the Lost, the three of them were together at Dragon Con a couple of years ago, and is a super fan of all the Croft stuff. I loved seeing them there. The Library Bards did a nice ID for us. They sang and harmonized in that the ID.
That was beautiful.
They put some effort into that. Liz Enthusiasm from Freeze Pop. That was also one of our very first IDs,
I
think. Liz was kind enough to say hello to the Flopcast, because we certainly love Freeze Pop around here. Another Liz, friend of ours, is Liz from Boston Skeptics, Shark Girl. the great Luke Ski, of course, Marion Call. She mentions the Boston Skeptics in her ID. Mark Edward, the aforementioned mentalist and friend of the skeptics. Marta Kristen, of course. Melody Anderson from Flash Gordon and from Manimal. Melody was great. Michael Beck from The Warriors. From Xanadu. Michael Beck. Nice guy. Mikey Mason.
Does she don't like Firefly guy?
Yes.
He mentions it in his ID.
How he identifies himself. Molly Lewis was cool. Oh, she started cackling like a chicken.
Yeah, that's right.
That was awesome.
Yeah, she was like, should I do some chicken sound effects? Yes,
Molly. I
wasn't going to ask, but yeah, that'd be a yes. How about New England's own Mr. T, McDaniel?
Yeah.
Good buddy of ours who does an amazing Mr. T costume, and he's just the best. And he made a very funny ID for us, screaming about how much he loves Betty White.
Be good to your mama.
Paul and Storm.
Yeah, they did a good one too.
That was nice. That's cool, because, I mean, they don't really know us. A lot of these people, some of these are good friends of ours. Some of these people have no idea who we are. They were just kind enough to give us 5 seconds. Power Salad, Chris from Power Salad, of course. Reb Brown did one for us. Rebecca Watson from Skeptic, the founder of Boston Skeptics, and Rebecca is an old friend of ours. And Rebecca was actually our very first Flopcast ID.
That
was the first ID we played was Rebecca.
What an honor.
That was, a highlight of her career.
Do you remember which episode was the first episode we had an ID for?
I do have that information right here.
Ooh.
You want to see the spreadsheet I have about the Flopcast?
I do not.
Draw this kind of important data from. That was episode 22.
Okay.
Yeah. Got to have her on the show again sometime. I was talking to Rebecca like a year ago about being on the Flopcast again, but we haven't actually made that happen yet.
Oh, these things take time.
Yeah, she has a new podcast going, actually. Rebecca and Ken Plume have been doing a podcast together. It's called Just Admit I'm Right. And it's just the two of them just talking about whatever. Very funny. Rowdy Roddy Piper did an ID for the Flopcast. And yikes, this was just a few months before he died. Very, very young. Very favorite of ours from the world of wrestling, of course. Rowdy Roddy. What a sweet guy. And yikes, we miss Rowdy Roddy Piper. Also from Flash Gordon, the other star of Flash Gordon, Sam Jones, Flash Gordon himself.
Yeah. Oh, I remember when you played that for me, and I was so excited.
You were freaking out that we had a recording of Sam Jones, and I just saw him again a few weeks ago, and a super cool guy. Tim Cavanaugh, another favorite from Dr. Demento.
He is one of the nicest people.
And Tim Cavanaugh, I mean, I was listening to his song parodies on Dr. Demento back in the 80s, and he was like a surprise guest at the very first Fump Fest. And I was so excited, like, that's Tim Cavanaugh.
That's the 99 Dead Bamboos guy.
I'm a fan from 30 years ago, and there he was. Well, what a nice guy. Todd Chappelle, another comedy musician, did a nice little ID for us. And finally on my list, alphabetically, would be TV's Kyle.
Yes.
So
that is quite an impressive stable of IDs.
That's quite a heap of IDs. So thanks to everybody who's been so kind as to throw a few seconds of audio our way. What else do we have here? All right. I've got some segments. Some of our classic Flopcast segments.
Oh, stats on our segments.
Stats on the segments. How many times have we done National Whatever Day?
Now, if you're only a recent Flopcast listener, this might throw you off because you think, oh, every week there's been 262 of those, and that's not the case.
Yeah. In the early days, it didn't exist.
We didn't have that segment.
That was something that just kind of developed over time. And I don't think I jotted down when the very first National Whatever Day was. We could go to the spreadsheet if we needed to. But I can give you a number, though, and that's the number of episodes in which a National Whatever Day has appeared is 204.
Oh, that's the majority, sir.
And I've only nearly accidentally repeated a day maybe once or twice.
You've done so many at this point.
Yeah.
204.
Yeah, you've been very good about that.
It's a lot of days.
It has helped that we expanded the definition of National Whatever Day to also include celebrity birthdays.
Yeah, that opens up a whole new avenue for you.
Yes.
But there were so many of those that I did not bother actually writing down what they were because we'd be here all night. For the other segments, however, I can tell you what they were.
Wow.
I've got topics, so get comfortable, everybody. This is going to take 6 hours.
Longer than the Death Show.
All right, the top 4.5 list, and that goes way back to the early days. Episode 2 of the Flopcast is when we debuted the top 4.5 list. The top 4.5 list has appeared in 52 episodes of the Flopcast.
Wow.
I'm going to try to rattle these off right now, quickly. We don't have time to dwell on any of these.
Sure.
Here are our top 4.5 list topics, starting in episode 2. The very first one was supporting characters in 1980s cartoons. So specific.
I'll be specific.
First time out. Wow, we got way more broad and general after that.
Yeah, we did.
All right, after that we have plaid things.
I remember that list. I found like a really bizarre plaid fancy car. Wasn't it a Maserati?
Yeah, you were just Googling plaid and just crazy things would come up. Pleasant surprises. Cartoon robots. That was our first robot list.
Oh, that's become a tradition.
An annual tradition. Every year we do a robot list. Funny songs of the last 10 years. Mustaches. Commercials. Mermaids. Speaking of mermaids, I know Amy was on that list.
Yep.
Of course, our friend Amy. Awful snack foods.
I remember that.
Was a good one. Green cartoon characters. Talking birds. Giants. I got a couple of Christmas ones here. Christmas specials by Rankin Bass. Followed by Christmas specials not by Rankin Bass.
Yeah.
Those were our first two big Christmas shows. Angry Things. Wacky sitcom neighbors. Wilson's. It was the first time we just picked a name and did
yes,
a list.
Yeah.
So we've done that a few times now. Favorite MarsCon moments. That was from you and Luke.
That is my all-time favorite top 4.5 list.
Wow. Teeth. 1980s saxophone solos.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I've been meaning to do that again. We got to do round 2.
I'm just about ready.
Yeah, we have to do that again. Maybe sometime this year. We're going to do round 2 of 80s saxophone solos.
That was right after I discovered Moon Hooch.
Anniversaries. Arcade video games. Things that remind Cornflake of Luke Ski. That was live from Luke Ski Con, I should say. Live-action movie and TV robots. That was our second annual robot list. Cover versions of 1980s songs. Then we have a run of 4 in a row on Schoolhouse Rock. We did a list of grammar rock, multiplication rock, science rock, and America rock, hitting the 4 main Schoolhouse Rock categories. Now we're going to do a bunch of 80s-themed lists. We did movies of 1980, songs of 1981, 1982 whatever. That was anything from the year 1982. Saturday morning cartoons and shows of 1984. Notice we skipped a year there. That's because for 83 we did a convention panel about 1983 from Dragon Con.
I remember that.
Songs of 1986. I don't know what happened to 85, so don't ask.
All right.
Then we did 1987 whatever, 88 whatever, and 89 whatever. I guess we were done thinking of specific 80s topics.
Yeah.
Boxes.
That was my idea.
I was going to ask. We did a list about boxes. Well, 1980s WWF wrestlers. Favorite things about MarsCon. This was lists from Cornflake and Luke and Dornail.
Nice.
Captains.
Oh, wait. That top 4.5 list from MarsCon. That was the one where Dornail got her list backwards, wasn't it?
Probably. I'm going to say she giggled, she got her list backwards, and then she spilled something on the list. I'm pretty sure that's
probably
how that went down. Captains. Hairdos. Cornflake's favorite parts of FumpFest. Really, a lot of those kind of shows. You go to a convention and just make a list of your favorite things. Robot songs. Mouths.
Follow on from teeth.
Here's a good one. Turkeys.
Yeah.
New things.
Oh, my goodness.
Betty.
Yes, Betty list.
That was fun. The Betty list. That was one of my favorites, I think. Evil robots. Backwards things. That was the backwards show.
That was good.
We did a whole show backwards.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Mars. Excuses. Bosses. Bill. Snakes. Summer songs. Robots. This was whatever. No specific robot category. Holiday villains. Doctors. Catchphrases. And most recently, Eds and Eddies. So those are your top 4.5 categories.
Wow. What were we thinking?
I think that's every category. We've done them all.
Wow. Yeah. We're all out.
There are no categories left to do. We've covered them all. All right. How about the pudding pages?
You're going to read all these off too?
Maybe. We have done the pudding pages in 29 episodes. So not nearly as many as 4.5 lists.
Yeah, not as many as you would think for being around as long as we have.
It's been around quite a while. The first Pudding Pages was in episode 41. That's when Dan Hart mailed us that book. We open to a random page in a book about the 70s or the 80s or the 90s, and we talk about whatever is on that page. You know how the Pudding Pages works. But we are forced to discuss whatever subject is on a random page.
And sometimes it has gone horribly wrong.
Oh, yeah. So here's a list of topics. And remember, we did not choose any of these topics. Here we go. Mall arcades. Loves baby soft.
I remember that one.
Yeah. Well, some of these are so stupid, I can't even say them. Kool-Aid Man. Gem and the Holograms. Dapper Dan. Record players. Maybelline Kissing Potion.
I remember that one.
Benji. Saturday Night Fever inspired clothes. Xena Warrior Princess. Soccer boppers. Those are those big things that you put on. It's like a giant thing that you put on your fist and then you can
pop. Yes, I know what they are because after hearing us talk about it, Lindsay brought those to MarsCon for me and I have them.
Yeah, you had an actual soccer bopper fight at MarsCon.
That was one of the most fun things that's ever happened.
You
at
and
MarsCon.
Lindsay. Yeah, and like there was a crowd gathering like the balcony overlooking the fight. We were all up there watching.
Inspired by the pudding pages.
Like we were in a Mad Max movie. You were in the Thunderdome. Riverdance. See, clearly, we did not want to talk about Riverdance. We had to talk about Riverdance. The Dream Phone Game. Lawn Darts. Baby on Board. Encyclopedia Brown. Air Hockey. Candy Cigarettes. That was a Figgy Pudding Pages.
Oh.
Christmas show where we had to talk about candy cigarettes. Jim Carrey. Love, Sydney. That was an easy one. It's my favorite show.
Yes.
Jolt Cola. The $6 Million Man action figure. Roseanne. Funny Face Drink Mix. Shazam and Isis. Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. It was also a Figgy Pudding Pages. We had to make that about Christmas.
That
was quite a workout just this past holiday season.
That was hard.
And most recently, Planters Cheese Balls. So those are our Pudding Pages topics. We never know what's going to happen when we open those stupid books.
There was quite the lull between Mutual of Omaha's Wild Animal Kingdom and Cheese Balls. I think we get a little discouraged.
Yeah, we needed some downtime after
that. Yeah.
What would happen if the random number generator sent you to the same topic again?
Yeah, it's never happened. We've never hit a rerun so far. I suppose it could happen. Because this computer is not keeping track of which pages it has selected already.
Right.
So do we have to just discuss the same thing again? I think we do.
Yeah.
We are but a slave to the supercomputer.
I bet you won't even remember the first time we discussed it.
Yeah, in all likelihood, we won't even realize it was a rerun, and we'll discuss it as if for the first time and say the exact same things. All right, kids, we cannot delay this any longer. How about Chickens in the News?
Yeah.
Chickens in the News has appeared in 56 episodes of the Flopcast, going all the way back to episode 6.
Would you say that this is our most suggested segment? This is the one that we get the most...
Yeah, there's a lot of interaction with the listeners about Chickens in the News, because people stumble upon chicken news stories and they send them to us.
Right, they immediately think of us.
And we love it. I love to get, because it saves me a lot of work. Because in the early days, I would have to search for chicken stories, and now I don't do that anymore.
No more.
They just come to us. All right, I'm going to try to move quickly, but here is a list of 56 Chickens in the News stories. Here we go. Flag stolen from guy in a chicken suit at a Boston market in Connecticut.
Oh, that's a reach.
Cuckoo the chicken addresses the town council in Blackjack, Missouri. The New York Mets have a chicken named Little Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Backyard chickens in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. Arkansas man shoplifts chicken in his pants. A guy at an airport in Nigeria is smuggling drugs inside of roasted chickens. Raising chickens at the White House with a question mark. I guess that was a theory, is that chickens might be raised at the White House. I don't think that ever actually happened, though. Lucky was a live chicken found at a KFC. The Chicken Hotel in England. Camilla Corona, the space rubber chicken.
Oh, yeah.
That's a rubber chicken that's a kind of a mascot of the space program. The lighting of the Christmas chicken in Gainesville, Georgia. We actually contacted the people that light this chicken in Georgia. Wasted their time. Lay's chicken and Pepsi potato chips, which is a flavor in China, evidently. Cluck Cluck, the chicken that saved its owners from a fire. 26,000 pounds of chicken wings stolen in Atlanta.
Wow.
Did that happen during Dragon Con, do you think?
Probably,
yeah. They needed it for the con suite. Lay's chicken and waffles potato chips.
Oh.
Backyard chickens in Woonsocket. This sounds like a rerun, but this time it was reported in a local Rhode Island newspaper, which amused us, I think. A study of roosters' internal clocks. Chicken Church. That's a church in Florida that looks like a chicken. The Chog, also known as the Frickin. That is a chicken-frog hybrid from a comic book series called Chew. A chicken-themed document sent to loud neighbor's unsecured wireless printer.
Oh, it was great.
Here's a big one. The Chicken Stock Bluegrass Music Festival in the town of Chicken, Alaska.
Which we still need to go to.
I'm telling you, that's the dream, is to someday get out to Chicken, Alaska for Chicken Stock. The Chicken Limo in Indianapolis. Chicken Sculptures in Annapolis, Maryland. The Mystical Black Chickens of Indonesia.
Yes.
And New Hampshire. Evidently. George Takei leads a giant chicken dance at Cincinnati's Oktoberfest.
That right there is one of my all-time favorites.
A woman smuggles jewelry inside a chicken at a Moscow airport. This might have been the wife of the guy in Nigeria smuggling drugs at an airport. A kid saws down a Christmas tree for chickens.
Oh.
That was somebody that you knew, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was a cute little
friend,
video.
My friend Adam, little boy.
Yeah. A little kid. Yeah. Sawed down a little tree and stuffed it into a chicken coop for actual chickens.
So they could have a Christmas
enjoy.
Tree.
Yeah.
That's the sweetest one, I think.
It was adorable, but yikes, what a dangerous kid. Keep an eye on that kid. High-visibility chicken vests for safety.
When crossing the road.
Yes. Fake tails attached to chickens to study how dinosaurs walk.
That was an Ig Nobel-winning study.
There was a scary chicken dinosaur discovered. The comic book series Dial H for Hero had a hoop chicken.
I remember the hoop chicken.
That was cool. A strange state of matter discovered inside the eyes of chickens. Remember that?
Ooh.
That was like a weird science story. Kissing your chickens can lead to disease.
Oh, yeah.
It's not so much a story, it's just common sense, I think. The Chicago Chicken Man. The effects of classical music, in parentheses, and Lionel Richie, on chickens. The chicken farmer, I still love you, painted on a rock in New Hampshire.
Yes.
Yes, famous story up there in New Hampshire. From Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, the henographer. That is a chicken stenographer. The Big Chicken Chorus. This is a group that puts on a Christmas concert in Georgia. Mailing live chickens for Christmas. That's like how to mail someone a live chicken for Christmas, as I recall. There was the book, Why Did the Chicken Cross the World? Then a follow-up story, because that same book, Why Did the Chicken Cross the World? Was selected for the Boston Skeptics Book Club.
We might have had a little something to do with that.
That was our suggestion, I believe. A giant metal chicken was stolen from Athens, Georgia. Another giant metal chicken was stolen from Athens, Georgia.
And a third, I remember how riled up we got about those.
There's a third one. This was a trilogy of stories. Then there was one of the giant metal chickens from Athens, Georgia is recovered.
We don't know. The other one is still at large.
The Pot of Destiny Chickens in the News video. Yes, they made a video for us about chickens in the news. The Chicken Church in Indonesia. Very different from the Florida Chicken Church. The Ig Nobel Prize awarded to the dino chicken researchers.
Yes.
Betty the Chicken on Twitter. This was a chicken that is actually live pecking things on Twitter.
I followed that chicken day and night. I had Twitter go off every time that chicken takes something.
A Dutch artist wants to shrink people down to the size of chickens.
That was a weird one.
Yeah, we had problems with that.
Yeah, that was very disturbing. And yet, I fully support it. The Chicken Club at a school in Canada. A science fair at the White House with chickens. In New Zealand, animal control officers using whiskey to catch roosters.
That was the best.
We had a chicken crossing the road in Scotland. We had a two-headed chicken, which was felted for us by our friend Kitty.
Yes. We love that chicken.
Yes. There was the 1,000-pound concrete chicken statue stolen in North Carolina.
We've got to stop stealing chicken statues.
Finally, most recently, we have the retirees in Milton, Massachusetts, knitting sweaters for chickens.
So a heartwarming story from right in our state.
Has any podcast in the last 5 years covered nearly this many chicken stories?
I hope not.
Maybe the Nerdist. Maybe. All right, I've got one more segment to run through.
I think I know what that is.
That would be, it's happened in 36 episodes, What's in the Bag? And my information is incomplete for this topic, I think. I've got a few question marks in here. Yeah. But here's what we have. What's in the Bag dates all the way back to Flopcast Episode 1.
Ooh.
There was a bag in Episode 1, and that was Blackstone Coffee. Coffee from coffee beans from a plant that was grown in Blackstone, Massachusetts. What a fine way to kick off the What's in a Bag segment, because we love coffee.
It was perfect.
Around here. And this was a segment that just kind of happened organically. We did not plan this, and that's why it's so stupid. It just turned into a segment somehow. What's in the Bag? Let's do this. Mr. Bubble. Squouse and lobster Christmas tree ornaments.
Yes.
Yes, that's the squouse is a squirrel-mouse hybrid that we somehow found a Christmas tree ornament version of. Flopcast Pez Dispenser. Yes, remember we used to give out Flopcast Pez Dispensers. Haven't done that in a while. We might
still have
we might still have a few on reserve, I think.
Valuable collector's item.
Sriracha potato chips.
That's
from a convention, I believe. We did the taste test at a convention. Those were in a bag. Now I've got a bunch of question marks and then coffee.
Is that when Moonbeam and Blasted Bill gave us coffee from Michigan? There was the lobster butter love coffee?
Yeah, I don't know. I've got two separate entries. One has question marks and coffee. The next one is question marks and lobster. Anyway, next I have an Aquabats DVD. next, a bunch of question marks. Luke Skikon. So again, we've got some gaps in my information here.
All right.
The homopolar or homopolar motor that was sent to us from the College of Curiosity.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a weird thing with a battery. It was a strange thing that some crazy people sent us. They're friends of ours, though, so it was okay.
Yes.
The Totally Sweet 90s book that we use in the Pudding Pages. That was a What's in the Bag segment as well. That came from you, I believe.
It did.
From the mayor. Chicken limo shirts. This is the chicken limo in Indianapolis. They have t-shirts that go with the chicken limo. And Sarah and Luke mailed us chicken limo shirts.
My bright yellow tank top.
They're beautiful. Chicken limo. We had an audio What's in the Bag sent to us from Ed from Sponge Awareness, and it turned out to be the song My Home is in One Socket.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
A very, so very great. Frightening song. The Lionel Richie coffee mugs. That's a Flopcast classic.
Is it tea you're looking for?
Yes.
Soccer boppers. These are from Lindsay. The soccer boppers were in a bag.
Those are fun.
The Keys to Chickentown from the mayor was What's in the Bag. That was in episode 100, I believe. You presented us with the keys to the city.
Yep.
The keys to Chickentown. What an honor.
That was a tremendous honor.
Sponges. This says sponges to throw to the FumpFest audience. That was live at FumpFest. Cornflakes Flopcast coffee mug painting from the graffiti paint bar. You presented us with an actual painting, an original work of art.
With a mug that says Flopcast on it.
Yes, it was a painting of a Flopcast coffee mug done by you. Flop game prizes. Oh, this is from when we did the flop game live at MarsCon. Oh. All the prizes we gave out that day were in a bag.
Oh boy, we have fun.
Lily pad and padlocks. Don't even try to explain. It's too weird. It's just too weird that was on the list. From that same convention, I think, we had TV dinner gum. That was a gift to us.
From Bob Kilgan.
From Bob, yeah. The TV dinner gum, the candy apple M&Ms, and the pumpkin spice Oreos. All that stuff was in a bag at one of our live convention recordings. Ed was in a bag.
Yeah.
And it was terrifying.
Yeah, Ed is actually on our list here. Well, Ed's on like every segment, I think.
Yeah.
He was even in a bag. The Zamfir Magic of Christmas CD.
That came from Ed.
Zamfir, Master of the Pan Flute. The Boss Elf Doll, a holiday classic. The Boss Elf from Rudolph. The Caped Crusade book. That was a book about Batman. New Flopcast badge ribbons, which reminds me, I've got to make more Flopcast badge ribbons for the new convention season. Turkey mask. That was my scary turkey mask. Oh, that's the turkey mask I gave to you, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, because I made a turkey mask for me for my Turkey Stark costume. Then I had another turkey mask, which I tricked you into taking.
And I immediately put it on and took selfies and sent it to people while we were recording.
Ecto Cooler. It's that weird green Ghostbusters beverage. Oh, here's a what's in the bag that we actually have in front of us right now. The heat-sensitive color-changing coffee mugs. We're drinking out of those same color-changing mugs right now.
I am so glad you're getting a lot of use out of them.
They have robots and zombies and all the digits of pi on them. Notice I said all the digits of pi. They somehow got an infinite number of digits onto the surface of a coffee
mug.
That's
about how much coffee I need.
Yes. It's a really big mug. Oh, the toy robot rubber chicken print by artist Sandy McDonald, which was sent to us by Jacob Howler.
Oh, yeah, that was a
That was in
print.
A bag. He also sent us some cards and buttons, which we appreciated. Those were in a bag. A book called The Lobster Chronicles was presented to you in a bag. A
lot from of these are, Steve.
We're hitting a run of just stuff that people give us.
Yeah.
from episode 251, which was a major milestone. That way more important than the five-year anniversary. Episode 251 was really the most important milestone we will ever hit as a show.
I kind of wondered how this show was going to stack up.
Well, as you can see, not well.
There's no cake, for one thing.
Yeah. But from that episode 251, we had this is stuff from you. You brought stuff for that very festive show, a card and a cake and the 251 candles. Then we had a lobster transformer you brought back from MarsCon, and also the Space Oddity pint glass. Finally, most recently, we had the Junior Paleontologist Power Hour comic book, which was sent to us by Bob.
So, which I still need to read.
Thanks for all the stuff in a bag, everybody.
Yay!
We're so desperate that we turned it into a beloved long-running segment. All right, so we've kept very busy with a bunch of very silly things for 5 years now. I think as we wind down our anniversary show, Cornflake, why don't you get through our regular end of the show plugs, and then we'll wrap up.
Yeah, we talked a lot this show about folks that have interacted with the Flopcast over time. You can join that list yourself by heading over to flopcast.net, which is our very own website maintained by our mayor of Chickentown. We're on Twitter. Our handle is @flopcast over there. On Facebook, we're at facebook.com/flopcast, and we're on Instagram, @_flopcast.
Yes, and you know where else you can find us, and I saved it for last because this is important too, is another big thing that happened to the Flopcast somewhere right in the middle there. We joined a network.
We did.
Remember?
The ESO Podcasting Network.
At some point along the way, we got invited to join the ESO Network. What a great bunch of humans they are.
Earth Station 1.
So it's been certainly very cool and very fun working with Mike and everybody at the network. Please do go to esopodcast.com and check out all the other shows on the ESO Network. We play a lot of promos for the other shows at the end of the show. But in general, they've got, I don't know, a couple dozen shows are all part of the ESO Network. So check them out. And I think that'll do it. We're ready for 5 more years.
5 more years.
Another
more years.
Another demi-decade.
Yes.
Year 6 kicks off next week. We'll see you there.
Alrighty then. Peace and cookies.
But be careful you don't spill it. Happy anniversary. Oh, happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Previously on Podcasserole. Glomer is one of the most underrated cartoon characters of all time.
Some call Glomer the Jar Jar of the PBU, you know. I haven't stepped foot inside of a Subway since, really.
And neither has Jared.
It's true.
You're over at my home every week. Is there a meth lab here?
Not a big one.
I choose him, the one called Kirk. I'm freaking James T. Kirk.
Find out more about Podcasserole now on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Google Play. And don't forget AdamandJP.com. And the ESO Network.
Yo, I'm Rowdy Roddy Piper. I'm at the Flopcast. The Hotel 6 was busy, so I'm flopping on a cast. I suggest you do too.
Brad, you remembered.
How could I ever forget the happiest day of my life?
And I didn't forget you, darling. Happy anniversary.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.